Okay, that's all you needed to play along with me with.
I didn't know what you meant.
That's all I wanted to do. Okay. I didn't want you to step on my toes. This is our big return. This is our comeback. This is our return from hiatus.
Yes.
And I had big plans, but those big plans were just that.
Okay, Carol Ann. Walk into the light, Carol Ann.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a brand new episode of Cinema Fromage. We've been absent as of late. It's been some challenges here in the Cinema Fromage side of things. But we won't worry about that because we're back and we're going to get back into doing the fun that we like to do, which is watching bad movies for you.
Yep.
And this week we're coming back. I know we had talked about it back in October. I'm going to keep talking louder if you keep plugging your ears.
Oh, you're talking loud right in my ear.
That's because I like to talk loud so they can hear me.
Well, that's why we have recording equipment. We don't have to shout and scream. But okay.
You heard me beforehand. Put some stank on it. Not that kind of stank. No, we're back. In October, we talked about we were going to do Tales of Halloween, but we decided we're going to blaze past that because it's now Christmas time.
It is Christmas time.
And it's we're going to be sitting here at the beginning talking about some Christmas horror movies with you. Talking about Christmas traditions, maybe, things like that. But then we're going to get into talking about our movie that we've decided for our big comeback here, which is 2008's Killer Pad, directed by Robert Englund.
Yay!
Yay! So, Christmas time.
Christmas time.
Scary movies. Before anybody asks, no, we have not seen Krampus yet.
No, we haven't, because, you know, life.
It is on our list to see, though. And we'll be heading out there pretty soon to see it.
Yeah, we had to see Star Wars first.
Yes. Priorities, people.
I know.
We did go see Star Wars.
Yes.
And it was quite wonderful.
It was amazing.
We enjoyed it quite a bit.
And I was first in line.
And I'm going to spoil the shit out of it for you. Luke uses the Force.
Damn it, Casey. You ruined the movie for
and
everybody.
And Vader is his dad.
You ruined the movie for everyone.
I know.
Fucker.
But we had a good time with that movie. The new cast is fantastic.
Yes.
The new characters are fantastic. It was just a lot of fun. But we won't go into it because it's just out when we're recording this about a week.
Yeah, so everyone should go see it because it really is good.
Yes, and we need more people to talk to about it.
Yeah, because we can't talk to anybody about it because nobody...
Nobody's going to see it, the poor Star Wars and J.J. Abrams. They've only made like $600 million so far.
But you see, everybody's afraid to talk about it now because they're afraid they're going to spoil it for other people. And so everyone is so, you know... Oh.
Yes.
I haven't seen anybody spoil it, though, on Facebook.
I know, people have done good.
Everybody I know has been, you know, not talking about it. And it just is like, okay.
Yep.
Because you know everybody's chomping at the bit, and you know at the beginning of January, everybody's going to just start talking because they're going to be sick and tired of...
Oh, I know. But I'm going to spoil another one and drop another spoiler here. They reveal Luke and Leia's mom, Elevator.
You're terrible. You think things are so much funnier than they actually are.
Somebody out there chuckled. I know it.
Yeah.
Write us in. Send us an email, cinemafromage@gmail.com. And let us know if you think I'm funny, as I do.
Looks don't count.
You can also reach us on Twitter. I'm at KCBGH.
I'm at HP Colleen.
Reach out and say hi. We haven't talked to any of you for a while.
No, we haven't. But I haven't really been too much on Twitter lately. Yes. Or Facebook.
But I am a social media darling, so.
You're something.
Yes, something. Christmas horror movies.
Okay.
It tis the season. We're recording this on December the 23rd, the night before Christmas.
Yes.
And all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even...
But the AC's running.
yes.
Because it's in the
60s. Because you're weird. Oh, well, yeah,
it's in the
60s.
It's in the 60s.
I'll give you that one today.
It's nothing to be weird about. It just is so warm.
It's 60 and tornado watches
in
Indiana for Christmas.
And thunder and lightning. Very, very frightening.
I'm dreaming of a large twister.
Okay. So Christmas movies, Christmas horror films, what?
There's a lot of them out there. We have the classics that come back from the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. Things like Black Christmas,
yeah,
which is a classic. Silent Night, Deadly Night,
yes,
which is a classic. Not everybody likes it. I understand that. But it is out there. You have some other classics that fit in there, such as Gremlins.
Gremlins.
Gremlins is a Christmas monster type movie.
Yeah.
And it's freaking awesome.
Because it takes place at Christmas, but it just, you know, one of my favorites is, because I like, you know, the comedy horror stuff, and I love Santa's Sleigh.
Yes.
That movie cracks me up.
With Phil Goldberg as Santa Claus.
That was awesome.
Yes. The WCW champion for a long time, and the fact that he's a Goldberg playing Santa Claus cracks me up.
Yes.
But I'm sure that was part of the joke.
Probably.
But that is a great movie, too. Not everybody likes that one. I have met some people that strongly dislike that movie. But for me, the opening of Santa's Sleigh is hard to beat.
Yes.
Especially for a horror comedy.
Right.
There's a lot of things going on. There's some brutal kills that are a blast. They're going to make you laugh out loud. There's just a lot of good stuff going on in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's what it is. It's supposed to be silly and stupid and funny and gross, and that's what it is.
And they even pack in a decent story, like a backstory around all of it, too.
Yeah, and they have kind of the Krampus tale going on at the same time. So it made sense and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of people didn't like it because, you know, that they like the Hallmark shit.
Yeah.
I was pleased today, though.
You can't.
I know.
Hold on.
I like some of the Hallmark stuff. I do. But I can't stand all of the sappy Christmas ones. Those annoy the shit out of me.
This is the lady that called me at work all excited because they added Hallmark Channel to our lineup.
No, I was excited because of Hallmark movies and mysteries. Because of the mystery
aspect. It's still a Hallmark Channel.
But I like the cozy mysteries that I've read that they've turned, like the Murder, She Baked shows and stuff like that, and then the Good Witch movies and TV show, which I love, and those are different because they involve dead bodies. But the Christmas crap doesn't.
Yes, they do get overly saccharine.
And so I was extremely excited today because I was flipping through channels and saw that, you know, where Hallmark was having all of its sappy Christmas specials and whatnot, IFC was showing Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nice.
But then again,
No, it was Nightmare Before Christmas, wasn't it?
No, it was Nightmare. Oh, was it? It was the Nightmare, because it was on, because when I was flipping through, I saw Nightmare on Elm Street 4 and then 5 and...
Ah, very nice.
And all that, so I was very excited about that. I didn't... I ended up watching Dharma and Greg instead, but still... Because I had introduced the lady to Dharma and Greg. She's seen all the Nightmare on Elm Streets and seen all those, so... You know, even though I almost turned on Sixth Sense today to make her watch that.
Yeah.
Which I did, because speaking of spoilers, when Casey and I went and saw The Sixth Sense in the movie theater, and this was before all the online social media and people giving spoilers and stuff, and we were sitting down, we sat down, the movie starts, we see the whole first scene with Bruce Willis. And
spoiler alert!
And I turn to Casey and I go, oh, I bet you he's dead through the whole thing. I got some dirty looks.
Yeah. She pulled that one out and she did not refrain from her excitement in telling me.
But, you know, I call it like I see it.
What other movies do you feel like you have to watch at Christmas time, even outside of horror?
Well, in the past, and I need you to get me DVDs or whatever for, you know, download or what the hell you ever you do with these things.
Tell all our secrets.
I used to absolutely love watching Holiday Inn and White Christmas while we would, you know, when we would put up the tree and stuff like that. I always love watching those because I absolutely love, you know, old Hollywood and the dancing and, you know, Danny Kaye and all of them. Who are you staring at me weird?
That's not very fun. I kid.
I love the old, you know, the old Hollywood musicals where they, you know, would sing and dance for no reason whatsoever. And, you know, the songs, of course, White Christmas and
Which we're going to start doing here on Cinema Fromage, doing song and dance for no reason whatsoever. Let's hit it. 3, 4.
But I always like those. What do you like watching?
I have to watch start every Christmas morning with A Christmas Story.
Yes, you do.
Every year. Followed up with Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
And then if I get a chance later on, I'll slip in Die Hard.
Of course. Die Hard is a Christmas classic.
Yes.
Because, again, you know, we have Christmas.
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 All right, folks. That's enough about Christmas and the Yuletide.
You want to try that again?
No. We're going to leave that lie.
There aren't enough. I don't think there are enough. Because we have all those Christmas movies and shit. There aren't enough Hanukkah movies or solstice movies or Yule movies out there. And they need to, especially, you know, considering how many people of other faiths are out there in Hollywood. And speaking of Jingle Bells, we have our dog, Puka, with us. And, you know, I'm surprised that there aren't more other holiday movies.
We need Mel Brooks' Hanukkah movie.
Yeah, we do.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. You're going to hear the trailer for Killer Pad, and then we're going to talk about it. So hold on to your butts.
Wait! I think it's just a Mexican.
I'm Brody.
I'm Craig.
I'm Doug.
We just rolled into town. We were kind of wondering if we could move in immediately.
I'm sorry. We have a no pet policy.
I found you boys the perfect house.
Furnished estate?
Hollywood Hills.
They're cheap.
We'll take it.
I'm Lucy from next door.
If we were to have a party, would you come?
I'd love to.
We have got great neighbors.
Showtime.
Whoa, whoa. I'm sorry, but there's going to be a lot of sex and booze and hardcore perversion at this party. I'm afraid you need to see some IDs.
But they say you're all only 16.
Is that a problem?
These things better not be bogus.
Right now, I am stuck in the middle of this very weird, very strange house party.
Hey, girls. Don't want to get your hopes up, but I'd be getting some Barry Manilow tickets pretty soon.
Say goodbye to those BM tickets.
Ooh. Ah.
Delilah and Jez are minion of the devil. This house is actually a portal to hell, and they're devouring souls to feed to their master.
Everybody here is in danger of being brutally murdered and sacrificed to the devil. So, please just move single file to the door, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Check it out.
Wow.
Triplets.
Impressive.
...2008, Killer Pad, directed by Robert Englund, written by Dan Stoller. This is a horror comedy.
It is. Three pals move into a haunted house in the Hollywood Hills.
There you go.
That's all there is to the synopsis of the plot.
But you know what's funny? That actually works pretty well to describe this movie.
It is. It does. I mean, that's it.
We start out with three idiots.
Three idiots.
Moving to L.A. because their dog had an accident at the vet, and they had a big settlement. The dog's name is Ballsy. You can connect the dots from there. So they decide to move out of their parents' house because the one guy's dad walks around naked and he has balls like,
Cantaloupes. Cantaloupes
and a tube sock. And he walks around naked all the time. So they decide to move out to L.A. on their own from Illinois. We open up the movie with them driving across there, which just with the opening, there's a couple poop jokes, things like that. You don't really see them up close until they actually get there.
Right.
And when they get there, we find out everything in this movie, plot-wise, is all exposition on the fly as they're going. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of setup here for anything. They're dumping everything on us on the fly as we're working through our movies. So as we get there, they show up at this place. We find out that they'd called ahead and had sent out a deposit for this place. They were going to stay at this place and whatnot. When they show up, they look for the landlord, who happens to be played by none other than Lin Shaye. Mm-hmm. Who is, thankfully, not the further Lin Shaye from all the Insidious movies.
She's in a lot of horror films lately.
But she was classic Lin Shaye.
Yes.
Being her goofy, slutty old lady self. But she is funny. But she had a small cameo there. It doesn't work out there, so they have to head off to find another place to live with the limited amount of funds they have. And they walk into another realtor's place that the realtor is played by Bobby Lee.
I love Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee is a comedian who you may know from Mad TV. Showed up on Chelsea Handler's show a lot. Chelsea Lately a lot.
Yep.
I know he's had a lot of other stuff out there. Bobby Lee plays this entire movie in drag.
He's marvelous.
And he plays it straight in drag. It's not like, obviously not, he's not like a transvestite or anything like that. He's playing a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever. He pulls it off. It does pretty good. He happens to have a house for him. It's a giant mansion in the Hollywood Hills. And they're going to let them stay there for cheap, fully furnished.
Yes.
There can't be a catch, right?
Of course not.
This movie starts out is, this movie is far more comedy than it is horror.
Right.
It takes a long time for anything horror to get started here. They drop some hints towards it as we get work out there. But they're just small hints and they're small flashes. There's not a whole lot of horror until we get to the third act of this movie.
Right.
Which is not necessarily a detriment to the movie. It has, it's not to say it's top-notch comedy to get there. There's, you can dive in here anytime you want.
I'm listening to what you have to say.
No, but there's not, this movie has its enjoyable moments.
It does. It has,
it can feel like a slog to get to where the parts you want to get to, though.
I don't know. I mean, it was what it was. It was a little, you know, it was slapstick. It was very Three Stooges-esque.
This is Dude, Where's My Car level comedy.
Yeah, it was dumb comedy. And it was, you know, for what it was, enjoyable dumb comedy.
Well, the beauty of it is, with the dumb comedy, we have our three idiots are played by Daniel Franzese, Eric Jungman, and Shane McRae, who are Doug, Craig, and Brody, are these three friends from Illinois that are moving out there.
Who looked really dorky in the movie, but are really hot now.
Yeah, everybody has grown in their hotness quotient from when this movie was made. The guys, the gals, everybody. These three guys, the whole first act of this movie hinges entirely on these three goofballs. And it's pure comedy, no horror yet, except for a couple of hints that there's going to be some setup that's pretty obvious that's coming later. And then they start to ramp up the comedy a bit in the second act, and then the horror shows up in the third act and everything goes nutty. But it works because these three guys playing these three idiots are committed to their roles.
They are. They are very committed. And they, I mean, it was actually, you know, kind of beautiful the way that they were so dumb.
These guys are morons. Their characters are morons. But these guys play them very well. But there was no sense of these guys just showing up earning a paycheck or anything like that. These guys were told by Robert Englund, you're morons, act like it. They went for it. And it worked really well.
Right.
And they went a long ways to making the first part of this movie a lot more easier to get through to get to the horror. If it wasn't for these three guys and the effort they were putting into their roles, this first part of this movie would have been really boring.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was cute. And the Doug and Craig characters played really well off each other. They were together more than Brody. But they were the typical two real dumb wannabes.
Yeah.
And they were really good.
But they gave him little quirks, and they stuck to those quirks to make them, because, like, Doug had a thing about baking.
Yes, he liked to cook.
He liked to cook, he loved baking, and he stuck to that and brought that into the character.
Yes.
So the characters actually had, even though they're just dumb morons, they actually had a little bit of depth to them, too.
Yeah, they had layers, yeah. and it really paid off. I mean, this wasn't any, you know...
And it also works out for this movie, too, because besides these guys and the effort they're putting in here, at no point does anybody in this movie take themselves overly serious at all.
No, they all knew what they were getting into, yep. And they all enjoyed it and played it.
Robert Englund knew what he was directing. These guys knew what they were acting about. They were just out there having fun.
It was just being silly and goofy, and that was what I needed.
Yeah, and it works out. And so, like I said, the first half is straight comedy. And they decide they get to this house. They decide they want to meet chicks. They're going to have this, throw this big party. But before that, the neighbor shows up, mm-hmm. out of the blue to welcome them there, because they drank the three of them together after they find this hole, which they think is a hole to the open sewer system. Never mind the flames and the lava, you can see through it, but they think it's a hole to the sewer system. They think they have squatters in the house, and they, you know, so there's a couple weird things that are happening early on. But then this neighbor shows up, played by Emily Baldoni, whose character name is Lucy.
Yep.
She shows up. She says that she's their neighbor from down the hill. They're from way down the hill.
Yeah.
She's quite attractive. These guys are all amazed and whatnot, and they're talking. That's when she gives them the idea they should have a party, a housewarming party, yada, yada, yada. They invite her, and everything's great. They're excited. They've met hot a girl. They're in L.A. Their plans are working out. She shows up the next day with her friends, which are Delilah and Jezebel, mm-hmm. played by Noreen DeWolf and Corey English, who they're her also very comely friends that show up in their Daisy Dukes and everything else. Actually, they first showed up in their tennis outfits.
They were playing tennis because Jezebel dropped a tennis ball out of her vagina.
Yes, her vajayjay. Which was another interesting aspect of this movie, which I thought was funny, because this movie is very lewd. Mm-hmm. It's lewd humor.
It is.
Which is fine.
It's gross humor. That's what I said. It's a gross comedy. And
it's gross.
But it wasn't so gross that you were like, oh, God.
Yes.
Well, except for
But there was
parts.
No nudity either.
No, there wasn't.
For that kind of, which was surprising, because a lot of times with these kind of... With this kind of comedy, with the lewd and the gross toilet humor, it's their excuse to throw as much nudity as they can in there. But they didn't go that route.
We just had a couple butts.
Yeah.
That was it.
And one of those was little people man butts.
Yes, little people man butts.
So that was an interesting, too. They actually had some restraint to that stuff. So we start getting into the more lewd humor and everything like that. There's some funny jokes that are going on in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really like some of the stuff that's going on here as they're starting to put together the party and... And whatnot, because our whole second act is kind of their montage of getting ready for the party.
Right.
The girls show up and help them hang decorations, crap like that. They're cooking, they're getting food, they're putting flyers up.
Yeah, they're taking the flyers to all the most inappropriate places possible.
Yes, like they sneak into a Catholic confessional.
Yeah.
To invite the Catholic schoolgirls.
Yes, and then
they go to a funeral.
They go to a funeral. Or a grief counseling place, because there are all these women who were just sitting there sobbing. They stopped at a gym and handed out stuff, and then they go to...
To a yoga mom.
Yeah.
A pregnant yoga mom.
And then they go to a porn shoot.
Yes. They walk right on set.
Right on set. And again, even though it's porn, no nudity. It was very impressive. And you didn't really miss it.
Yeah, you didn't miss it. It was... I mean... There's a lot of scantily clad gals running around throughout this movie. But it's not... Yeah, you don't feel like, oh, I wish there was boobs.
Those words didn't compute coming out of your mouth.
I know, it's weird, isn't it? It's a Christmas miracle!
And then also throughout the whole movie, we have this Hector... Jimenez, who plays Angel, running through the entire thing. At one point is in drag and everything, trying to sneak into the party, trying to explain to them that the house is haunted. And
he is a good side character.
That the house is inhabited by the devil, but of course he's Mexican and only speaks Spanish. They don't know any Spanish.
And he's like a groundskeeper.
He's a groundskeeper, and he keeps talking about El Diablo, and they think he's talking about hot sauce. And so through the whole thing, there's the running joke about the hot sauce.
Yes, but he actually works pretty good in this because he's got subtitles for everything. He speaks Spanish throughout the whole thing. But when he first shows up, this mansion that they're in Hollywood Hills is way out in the middle of nowhere. They think they're lost. They're way out there. Mm-hmm. Yada, yada, yada. Their car shuts down. Power shuts down. Lights are off in the distance. And they look up and they see what looks like the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Because there's a figure standing in the road, has the big scythe and stuff like that. But once lights come back on, it's Angel standing there in his khaki work clothes, and he's got, like, gardening implements.
It was a pool skimmer.
Yeah. But he keeps showing up, and so I love the fact that they just went completely bizarro with him as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a point where they get these two mafia goons to show up to work their door.
That they found at the food court.
Yes. And they end up sending him off, and the guy, Brody's having a... When the Angel's there trying to warn them again, and they're trying to tell him, you know, to get out and all this stuff. And they said, yeah, don't come back unless you got boobs or tits or whatever. Make sure they're big ones and whatnot. He shows up later. He's got tits.
Yep.
He puts on a dress and everything, comes back and sneaks in. It was kind of hilarious. I didn't expect him quite to go there.
That was pretty cute.
And then we get to the party, and the party gets started. And they've invited all these people, and you start seeing everybody show up. Party-wise, this is your typical party, comedy party movie. Mm-hmm. Nothing, no big surprises here or anything like that, except for our next big celebrity cameo, which I wasn't expecting. And I had no idea he was in here because I didn't look that close through IMDb, through the cast list.
Yeah.
But it's funny because the characters in the movie also make a point, joke later about how their party has now become an A-list party because Joey Lawrence arrives playing himself.
Yeah.
Joey Lawrence plays himself showing up at this mansion at Hollywood Hills. He's trying to go to Tobey Maguire's for a poker game. And ends up there, lost at the party.
Yeah.
But as you would expect, Lucy and her friends... I didn't catch it at first until Colleen's like, oh, I get it. Lucy and her friends have an ulterior motive. And this open sewer hole that we find in the basement, as you can imagine... Because the whole time it is glowing red, there's smoke coming out of it, flames. We saw Fire Marshal disappear in there either, which was another cameo played by Sam McMurray. Mm-hmm. He disappeared in there earlier. As a viewer, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
And you know what's going on just from looking at the case and everything, too. So it's not a real big spoiler, but people start dying in here. Joey Lawrence actually gets killed off too. Yes. And they do a nice little Weekend at Bernie's with him.
Yeah, yeah. I liked, that was probably my favorite death scene.
With Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence's. Because I thought that was kind of cool because he gets his face smushed into the mirror and it cuts his throat open and it's just really pretty.
Yeah, it was a weird one too because they're like showing different things that was going on in the reflection.
Yeah.
Too. Now the deaths were all pretty straightforward. It's not even the girls that are doing all of the deaths. There's a big invisible boogeyman aspect that's going on here too. Mm-hmm. We see three girls get into a hot tub, gets the heat cranked up. They get cooked. There's a funny scene later when Craig and Doug go down there trying to flirt with the ladies in the hot tub. There's some pretty good laughs coming through that. We have another scene where the porn stars and the little man go into a room, bedroom. They look at the wall and they walk in. They scream. They show a picture on the wall. We come back later. They're all dead. Mm-hmm. You don't get to see what happens there. They did all right with the special effects and stuff, though.
Yeah, they were simple, but...
But some of them, they show you everything.
Yeah.
Some of them, they don't. But they did a pretty good job with the special effects because there was, like, with Joey Lawrence's death, he had a pretty good neck wound going on.
Yeah, that was...
And it had some blood and guts, a little bit of blood and guts. The girls in the hot tub, which, you know, they were saying earlier that when they first got in there, that these girls look cooked, and they look cooked. They kind of look like hot dog. They had a hot dog thing going.
Yeah, they had the hot dog glow.
They did a pretty good job with that stuff. And then as we get to the climax of the movie with Lucy and Delilah and Jezebel and whatnot, I was really impressed with the makeup work they dropped on us there.
Yeah.
Because once Lucy and the girls reveal themselves, Lucy's makeup was much better than her two minions.
Yeah.
But of course, yeah, they're minions. She's Lucy.
Yeah.
So of course she's going to be better. Her makeup was really great.
Yeah, and their whole gag with that was pretty funny, too.
Yeah, they had a really great gag going on there with Satan. We'll leave that for you viewers to come across. It was pretty funny. Comes back a lot. They repeat on this joke a lot, but it's actually worth it. It's pretty funny.
It's a deal breaker. What do you expect?
Yes. But especially with the girl that Emily Baldoni, who is, you know, a pretty attractive woman, who's playing this with, we'll just say, Camelfoot in play.
Camelfoot.
They do make some good jokes with that, though, too. But her makeup was great. I thought her little devil makeup, the little puny wings were weird and whatnot. But the way they did the horns, the makeup and everything, was still fairly attractive.
Yeah.
For being a monster. Now, her minions were full-out monsters.
Yeah.
They looked kind of lumpy and rubbery, but they were still not bad.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think that they did a good job with that.
They were lumpy and rubbery and kind of mouse-looking. Still running around in their garters and heels. Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So, and then... that's about it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I mean, they're really... okay, for what the movie is... I mean, it's a horror comedy, it's slapstick, it's goofy, it's silly. There really is not a lot of content.
Yeah, there's not a lot of meat to
but
it.
But you don't care.
Right.
You just really don't care that there's not a really in-depth storyline. It's all pretty much cut and dry. And but because the acting and the writing and the jokes and the, you know, all that stuff was, it worked for what it was, you didn't miss the fact that there wasn't this in-depth dramatic story.
No origins or anything like that. You don't need it. Because like you said, and it's one of those things that makes it clear early on in the movie what this movie's going to be.
Yeah.
And so you know what to expect. And they don't bog it down trying to shoehorn other crap in there. So it works fairly well. The pace keeps moving pretty good. It got slowed down a little bit there in the middle.
Yeah, it did get slowed down. And some of the editing, I felt, was a little jarring because it was a little cut up at the beginning. The first act, I felt like there were some scenes that just felt like they were just kind of glued together and didn't flow very well.
I kind of have to wonder, too. There's no other directors listed on IMDb for this. Just Robert Englund. I still have to wonder how much he actually directed. It's hard to say. Or if he was just there and helped direct some of it and somebody else who did the editing and stuff had more input on. Each act in this movie has a very distinctly different feel to it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie's kind of choppy.
Yeah.
It's a little rocky getting started. I mean, these guys are pulling it together pretty good, but the first act really relies on these three guys to get us through it.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for these three guys and the performance they're giving us, it'd be hard to get through that first act. Second act starts to gel more.
Yeah.
It starts to come together more. It's a little more fluid. It's a little more concise. And then the third act is when we get to the fun stuff, and then that they flow into that and they run with it, and that one's fine.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes me wonder how much of this if Robert Englund actually did direct all of it, or once he got done with yelled cut on the final scene, and then it got sent off to the editors and, you know, the writer and the editors, producers and stuff, and he has no idea what happened to it from there, too.
Who knows?
But I am not overly familiar with Robert Englund's directing catalog. I don't know if you are.
Not really.
I don't even know how much he's directed, to be quite honest. No, he wasn't up there.
No, go ahead. It should say director. Oh. So you click that one there and it shows you the movies that
That's the internet, how the internet works. Yeah, 976 Evil is the only one ever I knew of. So he's only has 976 Evil, Killer Pad, and Freddy's Nightmares.
Yeah, two episodes on Freddy's Nightmares.
So he's not a big time director either.
But that's okay.
Yeah. He did all right with this one. If he did direct it all.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Woohoo!
Who's your favorite character throughout all of these here in Killer Pad?
Oh, goodness. Go back. Scroll down. What was his name? Doug? I thought he was cute.
Doug the Baker?
He was adorable.
Yeah.
I like Doug.
Mine was probably Ballsy the Dog.
Ballsy the Dog was awesome.
He was a bulldog. He was pretty good. He's actually got a fairly good part for a bulldog.
Yes.
Throughout there. He plays a pivotal role. Yes, Doug was pretty awesome, too. I really liked all three of the guys.
Yeah.
It became clear, though, that Doug and Craig, Daniel Franzese and Eric Jungman, respectively, were the highlights of these three. Those two, the way those two played off of each other was really good. And it was really strong, made them stand out.
And I'm just pleased at how lovely they all grew up.
Yes. And all these people, if you go through their, they're not starring in blockbuster movies, but all of these people have gone on to fairly big careers. Mm-hmm. In TV, showing up on different TV shows, things like that, having parts in other movies. They've all turned out to be, you know, fairly strong actors with a pretty good, solid career behind them, so that's cool, too.
Yeah.
Doug was probably, if I'm not going to choose Ballsy the Dog, Doug's probably one of my favorites, too.
And it kind of, I mean, okay, if we put long hair on him, he'd almost look like our daughter's boyfriend.
A little bit. What was your favorite death in this movie?
Oh, I already said. Was Joey's.
Joey Lawrence's. Yeah.
Yeah. His death was awesome.
Mine was probably the hot tub.
The hot tub. Another good one was the kid. What was his name?
Andy Milonakis.
Yeah, his name goes geek. This little kid, he just is adorable. He's probably, 17, 18.
If you have had any experience at all, I know you haven't. If you had any experience at all with some of the other work that Andy Milonakis has done, you would not say he was adorable.
Well, I mean, I know he's gross.
He's obnoxious.
I know he's gross and obnoxious, but he was just so cute in this part. And, you know, he was, getting his first time and his head explodes, and that was pretty funny.
They had a good setup for that one, too, because he's upstairs with the two minions, and they look up, and they're like, hey, he's up there stealing our girls, they pull the blinds down, then you just see the silhouette show. And so while these guys are all standing around, there's like six of them standing around talking about a portal to hell in the house.
Yeah.
They look up and they go, oh. When they start watching the silhouettes, and then when you see his head explode, they're like, oh.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was some good ones. There wasn't really any standouts that I didn't like in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's not a blockbuster movie, but it's a good cable find.
It is.
And this is streaming now on HBO Go, if you happen to have that out there. That's a good place to find it if you happen to have access to that. So now for the big question. Here at the end of the discussion. Mm-hmm. What rating do you give Killer Pad?
For what it is, I'd give it 4 out of 5. Just because it was, you know, it made me laugh, it made me giggle. It, you know, I didn't get bored with it.
Yeah.
So it was fun, and it was cute, and it was silly, and it was stupid. And if you are in the right mindset to just watch something so dumb and so just silly and not serious horror, not, you know.
Yeah.
Not big, deep horror. It's very shallow horror. It is like kiddie wading pool horror.
Yes.
And it's...
maybe the slip and slide.
Yeah, and it's, you know, just, it's fun. So I give it 4.
You know, I was thinking if I wanted to be nitpicky about this, you know, going over to it, I'd probably go like a 3.5. But I think you're right. This is a movie that's not meant to be picked apart,
right,
and whatnot. This is a movie you're supposed to sit down. You want to sit down, shut your brain off, watch a movie, have some laughs. This movie delivers that, and it delivers it well.
Yeah.
So I would give it a 4 out of 5 as well.
Okay.
So there you have it. That's 2 4s out of 5 for Killer Pad from 2008, directed by Robert Englund. And like I said, this is now streaming on HBO Go. So if you have access to HBO Go or HBO Now, you can watch it And I recommend you do.
Yeah.
It would go better on a late night weekend with some beers and some friends around.
Yeah.
That'd probably make it even better.
It's silly fun.
Yes. So there you have it. Let's take a break. We'll be right back, and we're going to find out what we're watching next here on Cinema from Mod. All right. Feels good to be back, don't you think?
Yeah.
Working the kinks out. Get some stretches, working out my hammies, getting loosened up, bringing it back to the people, the power of the people.
Okay.
Come on, let me have this moment.
Oh my Lord.
Folks, we are back. We're going to be back more regularly now. We're going to be back on our regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So we're glad that you've stuck around with us.
Yes.
And we're going to bring you some more entertaining podcasts with a lot more B-movies. Coming up on our next episode, we've got another fairly recent B-movie coming up. We're going to be watching 2012's Hellbenders.
The Augustine Interfaith Order of Hellbound Saints, a team of blasphemous ministers who live in a constant state of debauchery, work to drag the worst demons back to hell.
This is a movie written and directed by J.T. Petty, based off a graphic novel. The plot synopsis sounds cheesy enough. I'd first turned this movie on, watched like 5 minutes of it, and I watched 5 minutes and thought, oh, this is one that I gotta watch with Colleen, and I turned it off.
It sounds like R.I.P.D.
I thought of you. But this is all about a bunch of priests who are completely debauched, drugs, booze, everything like that. So they live in sin to take on sin.
Okay.
But the compelling part of this movie is its cast. We have Clifton Collins Jr., who's done a lot of great work out there. We have Clancy Brown.
Mr. Krabs.
Yes. We have Macon Blair, who was in Blue Ruin recently, which was a fantastic flick, and he's been showing up in a couple other places. This guy does some really good indie work. We have Larry Fessenden. Dan Fogler. It's got a really great cast. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yep.
Larry Fessenden is a genre all-star. So I'm excited to see him involved. Looks like it could be some fun. This is listed as a comedy horror thriller. I expect a little more action than toilet humor in this one.
Okay.
From this week's movie. So there we go.
All right.
So that's it, folks. That's another episode of Cinema Fromage. We're glad you're still with us. Let us know what you thought of the show. If you're happy to have us back or anything like that. You can send us an email at cinemafromage@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter. I'm at KCBGH.
I'm at HP Colleen.
And like I said, reach out, say hi. And we hope you all have very happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Regardless of what you celebrate, we hope it goes well for you.
Yep.
Although we can't wish you a white Christmas because I think we're all hosed.
I'm dreaming of a muddy Christmas.
That we are. Until next time, I'm Casey.
I'm Colleen.
And you've been listening to Cinema Fromage, where we watch crap so you don't have to.
Where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our... Our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street. Gets up late for work. Mother has to iron his shirt. Then she sends the kids to school. Sees them off with a small kiss. She's the one they're going to miss in lots of ways. Got a date to keep, he can't hang around. Our house.